I'm Neil Fagan.
And I'm Jeff Owens.
And welcome to Scribble. Welcome to Scribble with Jeff Owens and myself as we scribble our way through the next 30 minutes all about art, poetry and short stories.
Well, you've got the right people for the job here in this room, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a cracking little show, this. So, why have we set up Scribble? I guess that's the main thing. It's a new programme, new show, of being networked across the world.
Well, we're at the start of something big.
Yeah, we are indeed.
I don't quite know what it looks like, but we'll feel it as we go along.
Yeah, I think the key to it is, so why did I set it up? Why is Scribble part of going to be broadcast on the airways? Well, I got involved with quite a few poets who were looking at producing some great poetry, and I thought what would be really good is to actually broadcast this to a wider audience. Yeah. That along the side of the arts that we cover as well, in a separate program we do, I thought if we combine the two together, we can cover some great artists, some great poets. And then I thought, you know what, why don't we do short story writers as well?
This was one of your strolls to work moments, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
When you're walking along and you're putting the world to right, and then you came up with this radio show.
Yeah, it's kind of always dangerous when you're walking along with a dog and you're thinking, what can I do next? Oh, I've got a great idea. Let's scribble our way through history. What about that then?
So what sort of people are we looking for to listen to this?
So we're looking for all sorts of people, whether you're an established poet, whether you're a new poet, a budding poet, whether you write slam poetry, this rhyming poetry, performance poetry, we don't care, we're looking for it. We've had a few in this week already. There's a group called the Cubally Group who operate out of Facebook. It's the brainchild of a guy by the name of Alex Maxwell who lives down in Cornwall. And these are a group of about 12 people. We're a bit like the apostles, really, of Alex.
So I have this vision of you all hanging around in robes with ropes around
your
waist.
Yeah, that's right, with the berries on, you know, and, you know, just kind of taking it easy. And every week he sets us a challenge, and one of the group picks a couple of words, and they can be, well, any words. And they pick them, they fire them out to the rest of the group and go, here you go, guys, you've now got to write a bit of poetry around these two words. And we create bits of poetry, send them into Alex. Alex bundles them up together and he fires them out for everybody to have a look at. And it's amazing how many different ideas and themes come out of just two words. You know, out of 12, 13 people, you get this vast array of different ideas that are associated with those words. It's absolutely stunning. So Alex and the team, and I'm going to mention the team because they've asked me to do that. They're going to be great supporters of what we're doing on the Scribble Show. So there's Alex Maxwell. He's the guy who set everything up. A guy called David Thorpe. Ryan Woods, who's an author and a poet, and we're going to be covering one of his one of his novels very shortly. A guy called Bob Williams, Christina Pelton, Rainey Samista, AF North, Diane Forbes Compton, Jem Walls, Joy Wilson Parish, and the Plain-Faced Poetess. A mixture of people from all over the world. So they're from the UK, they're from the US, they're from India, and they all come together and they write a piece of poetry around these two words. It's absolutely cracking. And we're going to hear some of those samples in a minute, which will be really great.
Well, it'd be great to have them listening for the show, but can I fly the flag for the people who don't write poetry but like to listen to it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't write poetry, I know you do, but I'm more than happy to sit and listen. So I'm going to get there with a cup of coffee in my hand and I'm just going to sit and enjoy what this show is all about. And I hope lots of people can enjoy joining too,
Yeah, I think the key with Scribble is one of those, what did we used to say, kick off your shoes, sit back in your chair, pour yourself a coffee and just relax.
Yeah, doesn't matter where you are on planet Earth, welcome to the show, listen along and see what goes on.
Yeah, okay. So we'll start it off, we'll play, so the Kubli, the group of guys and gals who get together and write this poetry, some of them have sent some of the work in and I thought we'd play, I think we'll play The Escape first. This was sent in by Joe Wilson Parish. So just have a listen to this. See what you think to this.
The Escape by Joy Parish. At the bend in the road near the moss-covered bridge, she slips the leash and bolts. Wings spread, paws pounding up a tousled spray of candy-tinted leaves and bark in colors of oak and maple and snow-white birch. My call echoes off lichen-covered rock and dew-kissed hill, and yet she still bounds. She flies over the stream bed and dives headlong into the tall yellow grass of the unshorn meadow with unbridled restraint. Her ears are barely visible above the waves of russet bobbing cattail. She leaps, and I swear she laughs, a cinnamon-frosted unicorn, a nutmeg-winged gazelle, an allspice wildling of the American mutt persuasion. I watch as she dances her silhouette against the hard rock maples of deepest garnet and burnished copper. Again she soars, and again through crisp, crystalline air, her flight an accidental freedom, but not wasted. And when at last she returns from her stolen pilgrimage, panting frosted puffs of cider-scented breath into the wind, she drops a fat red apple at my feet. A dervish of orange and yellow leaves whirl up to surround my boot-clad legs and her mud-clad legs as I slip the lead over her head and we head back to the bridge for home.
There you go. First one in of the Kimberley group.
I get what this show's about now.
Yeah, it's, you can it's just a bit feel
like,
it.
Yeah. It's like being a disc jockey, but a poet jockey.
A poet jockey. A poet jockey. Do you want to put your teeth back in?
I get it. I'm just sitting here listening. This is great.
Yeah, it's quite soothing, isn't it? And I think there's something around accents as well, because you're going to hear, we'll hear lots of different accents as we go through this program, through different series of this program. You'll hear American accents, you'll hear British accents, you'll hear South African accents. You're going to hear a whole multitude of different cultures all coming together. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a really nice thing about it. Not only is it quite relaxing to listen to, it's the fact that all these cultures are coming together from across the world to work on just broadcasting their poetry. What a great way to do it. Mm,
yeah.
So there's one of the people on the Kubali, who's, I think she's out in India at the minute, Jen Walls. She sent in one of her poems, so have a listen to this one as well. This is part of the Kubali group as well.
Okay.
A Kubali love offering number 5 from Jen Walls, St. Paul, Minnesota, USA. Timelessness. Mist raw timelessness. Sing tasseled pilgrimage, blue bliss. Blend cares on morning. Speak, deep melts, twinklings. Lend dark sky love, joy, and light. Find thee in heart's home. Kiss evergreen trees. Awaken breath tenderness, climb love heights, come free.
Well, there you go, that was Jim Walls. Now, I made a mistake there, so I think mm-hmm. she's over in India at the minute. The reason I said that is she sent me some poetry which has got this very Indian feel to it, which I had to listen to the other night. And I made the association and assumed, as you never should, that she was over on the Indian continent doing the work on that. It sounded that authentic, what she was doing. So that was a piece from her. So it's not only about the poets, as we said before. We're also going to look at novelists. We want novelists to get involved and short story writers so that we can cover some of that. So we'll get readers to do that. But just before we move on to a short story or a novelist that I want to cover, which is a guy by the name of Ryan Woods, I think it's fair to say that on the next programme we'll be looking to interview Alex about the Kubali and why he took it upon himself to do this, because he's brought a great band of people together. So it'd be great to get him on the show so he can explain why he did it. In the meantime, let's talk about a guy called Ryan Woods. He's from our neck of the woods. He's up in Lancashire, not far from us.
Yeah, he's a Lancashire lad.
Yeah, he's a great poet as well, actually. He's part of the Kubali group as well. Great poet, but he's also
an
author.
Lancashire, UK, just for people over...
Yeah, sorry, yeah, for people all over the world, it's Lancashire, UK, yeah. He's writing a novel at the moment, which is a great novel, and he very kindly sent me through an extract from the piece that he's writing, and we got one of our production team to read it, Emma, and this is how it goes.
The left side of his cheek had been eaten through to the jawbone, his teeth visible through the gaping, jagged hole in his flesh. As I got nearer, I watched as his tongue slid through the hole in his cheek, like a short, fleshy snake. A thought entered my head, which I immediately tried to dismiss. It seemed almost as if that discoloured lump of meat that was Mr. Mahoney's tongue was tasting the air as if it had detected on the breeze a flavour that it liked. Cinnamon. And by that, I meant me. He wasn't immediately able to pinpoint my location due to the fact that where his left eyeball should have been, there was only a dark, vacant socket that several flies seemed to have taken a particular interest in. However, as his head continued to turn towards me, his right eye latched onto me, and I could have sworn that I saw a glimmer in that dead, soulless eye that looked like excitement. A realization suddenly dawned on me. I was alone, with no means of protection, and I was being studied by my elderly, seemingly undead neighbour, who was eyeing me up. If you'll pardon the slightly pervy-sounding expression, as if I was a prime piece of meat on a butcher's hook. The freak that was once Mr. Mahoney now faced me fully and began to advance towards me in a shambling manner, like a puppet whose strings had become all tangled up. His advance may have been slow, as befits the elderly and the undead, but it seemed to have a determined purpose to it that I found extremely disturbing. I felt sure that I could outrun him because even when he was alive, he wasn't exactly the most mobile or athletic pensioner that I had ever met. But for some reason, I also felt that outrunning him was not necessarily the solution. As if now that he'd inhaled my scent and liked it, he was not going to stop until his stained dentures were gnawing on my young, tender flesh. As crazy as it may sound, I chuckled to myself inwardly at that thought. An image had entered my head of him biting down on my calf and then raising his head in a cannibalistic glory whilst his dentures remained clamped on my leg. I wondered briefly to myself if that was a real possibility before deciding that in truth I really had no desire to find out.
Well, there you go. Now, it's probably not a genre that you read, Jeff, in real terms. But, it's
I don't like the sound of Mr. Mahoney. I wouldn't want to bump into him.
Yeah, well, Ryan very kindly sent me through the first three or four pages of the novel for me to read in offline in my own time.
Okay.
It's great. I can't wait for it to come out. And Emma's got a bit hooked on it now. She was a bit embarrassed about having to read it, but she's really got hooked on this this story about Cinnamon Page. So can't wait for it to be broadcast.
So where will people be able to access that then?
Well, I'm guessing that it'll be published on, well, I'll find out off Ryan, that's the best way, because it's probably going to be published
on
Amazon. Yeah, it's a bit of a teaser, that. Mm. And I don't know how long he is away from publishing it. Probably, I don't know, a month or so away. I'll probably put you under a load of pressure there, Ryan. Sorry if I have. But it's going to be a great novel when it's finished, so it'll be worth reading for anybody who's into that particular genre. So what we're looking for from short story writers and novelists, any genre, we don't care. Can be anything, can't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just has to be the horror genre. It can be a classical. It can be love. It can be adventure. It can be war. It can be whatever you're thinking of. Science fiction, doesn't matter. It's up to you. You're the creatives. All you've got to do is drop us a line. Go to our Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/365scribble. 365 because something 365 days a year.
That's us.
And that's us. Which allows
scribble,
you to,
because it just doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You just scribble around, just put any old rubbish down there. But no, post some of your short stories or a teaser from your novel. We'll get it covered on the programme and let people know what you're up to in real terms. So now, bringing it right down to earth into the locality, there's a group of guys who get together on a monthly basis. I keep on terming them the old geezers, but they're probably the Coffee Shop Poet Society. I'm not quite sure how I would term it. It's just two or three guys who sit down. I join them every now and again. And they have a coffee or they have a beer and they read a bit of poetry. And it's all about their lives and what they've been up to. So I caught up with them this week and this is what these guys had to say.
Trevin, when a north wind doth blow. I've written so much of my favourite clime, I've started to think that Trevan is mine. Each ascent, different. Each move gained me height. Each consideration leaves nothing for maybe or might. Easy gully, my favourite approach. I look to my mountain, its hazards to encroach, in rain, in snow, when the sun bakes the slabs. Are there any virgin approaches, still up for grabs? The cannon stands proud, rocky tumescence, to the Agwin Valley, it shares its essence. The faces we climb, those gullies challenge balls, each opportunity for failure, for falls. When I'm on my own, I'll take time to reflect how easy it'd be to love her, my mountain, so circumspect. Those days on my mountain should be shared with your mates. No words need be said. Vistas translates. The beauty to be seen, rugged rock and stone, negotiating my mountain for our sins to atone. We're testing our mettle, growing our soul in this land of dragons, once rich in coal. My mountain achieved, we're greeted there by biblical characters 3,000 feet in the air. Adam and Eve, guardians up high, for millions of years protected her peak from the sky. But the sky has her allies. When the north wind doth blow, Adam and Eve cast their spells that let them crow. The warning, take heed. When the north wind doth blow, it's your bones it will need. They roar, they scream, they call out alarm, threatening their world with destruction and harm. But little damage is caused to the singular massif. Many Francon stallions stampede easterly to our guardian relief. But my mountain stands proud, eternally erect. Adam and Eve, when the north wind doth blow, my love they protect. Beware all you chancers, you adventurers, you bold. When the north wind doth blow, coffins are sold.
Yeah, that's good. So that's good.
That's good.
So the cannon is what? It sticks out?
It's a piece of rock nail,
yeah,
that sticks out, pointing towards the Ogrin Valley.
Right.
It's about halfway up the mountain, on the west side, isn't it, Cole?
It's on the North Ridge.
On the North Ridge.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a well known spot for people to go and stand and have their picture taken
about
on the end.
5 metres, do you think?
Yeah, it's like. And it takes some courage to walk up it because it's quite a slope.
Yeah.
And you get on the top, and you've almost got to have 1 foot on either side of it.
Really?
And then it look all this exposure around you.
Yeah.
And if you fell, you'd only fall 20 metres.
Yeah.
But it gives the impression you could fall
thousands of feet. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Full perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you both did the mountain rescue, didn't you?
Yeah.
So did you have to rescue many? Because when you were talking about the Adam and Eve there in the in the poem about coffins are made, did you ever have to go up there and
different area?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was there was an Ogwin Valley rescue team that covers that area now.
Ah, right.
Only about half a mile from there.
Yeah.
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 Oh, somebody donated them a bungalow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did they? Well, for them to operate out.
Yes, down the valley.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's the mountain we're on about.
Yeah.
A couple, I don't think. Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard Generation T?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Thought that was excellent.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
So you've got two poets in the family now.
Yeah, good, yeah. And a very good one.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we've got one.
I like
Slow
them.
Slow me, Alan.
Doesn't matter.
I like them. Love them.
Yeah, I think they're great.
You haven't heard Paperboy, have you, Carl?
Paperboy? No. I'm going to.
Yeah.
Should I have a go?
Yeah, go on. Do Paperboy.
Go
Paperboy is good.
I'm not sure it flows as well as the others, but I'll give it a go. So, Paperboy. Early morning alarm greeted with weary sigh. Glance through curtains reveals stormy sky. Heavy coat adorned, hat and gloves in pocket. Bike from shed, spurt of oil on socket. Leg over saddle, pumping pedals like Eddie Merckx. Roads lit up with the glow of the railway works. The sight of the shop, a welcome oasis, warm and light, tired but friendly faces. Collect the papers, sort in house order, no need to check, stored in mental memory disorder. Take time to catch up on back page headlines, football scores and transfer deadlines. Get those papers out, shouts the impatient owner. He's right, 19 Earl Street, a regular moaner. Each chronicle must be delivered on time, whatever the weather, despite the canine. Boys weighed down with written print, shuffle out of the shop for their daily stint. Each heads off in a different direction, pockets full of stolen confection. Bag on crossbar, shoulder aching, downhill on ice, care with braking. Each paper delivered is one less curse, school to follow, which is worse. Last paper delivered, a dash for home, streets lit up in monochrome. Breakfast awaits, Rice Krispies and toast, blazing coal fire, frozen toast to roast.
That is great. It just reminds you of the times when you had to go into the newsagents and pick up your bag of papers.
Yeah.
He'd be chucking it down in the morning.
I've done that bit. I used to deliver the evening leaders.
I had two. One was Bellis's and one was Baird, it was called.
Yeah.
Baird was the old abattoir behind the halfway house football ground, which is no longer there.
Where did you put the pen? Your pen. Is it in there?
Yeah, I've got a pen here.
Thanks, Neil. I wrote the wrong word in there. It shouldn't be socket, it should be sprocket.
Yeah. The old abattoir was a big old Georgian house.
Tila.
And there was no lights at all. So going up there at 6 o'clock in the morning, there's a sort of 8/9 year old lad. I mean, I had a sphincter going like that.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine.
And then at the other, the furthest point, was up Golston Lane, about 400 metres up there, an old house called, well, it was Farmer, Bellis his name was. To get up there, no street lights, narrow lane, you know, every hoot of an owl is the sound of a ghost.
Oh, it is, yeah, it was scary when you were that one,
wasn't it? Of course it was, yeah.
Well, look, people as a world over will get that, I think, because, you know, murder went out in the cold, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
And then when you got to the shop, it was like a bit of relief for 10 minutes. And you weren't gone as long as you could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Until they kicked you out to go and deliver them.
Saturday was my favourite because it was payday. And you used to go in there, and there was Maggie and Ann Jones, remember them? And they used to serve in T&E's, which is the old man who used to own there. And whilst I'm waiting for him to come and pay me the wages, I'd stand there and read the DC Comics, Superman, Batman.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
The Flash. The Green Hornet.
I never
took to the Eagle.
No, I never
the
heard
Hotspur
that one.
Hotspur was good.
Hotspur was okay.
Hotspur was all right with Tommy Tupper.
Yeah.
Was he Tupper the welder?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Tommy Tupper the welder,
The Green Hornet's back out again now, isn't it?
Green Hornet, a bit of a fad.
But I remember on the round I did, I can remember there was one, I had the same round for years, and there was one guy, and he got the Morning Star. Which is the communist socialist paper. And he used to think, what the hell is this? Because he was the only person in the whole bloody town who got this paper.
Yeah.
Jack Sanders, the guy's name was.
Yeah.
I remember him because he hit his lad over the head with a cricket bat once.
Good man. But,
yeah. He won't let me play cricket, so if I'm not playing, neither are you. What point have you got there, Neil?
Yep. Well, it made me remember when you were doing your thing about a job. I can remember when the business went pear-shaped and I was doing all sorts of different jobs. And I got a job in a petrol station just off the A55, and it was working a night shift. So I was doing painting and all the rest of it to earn a bit of money, then working this night shift in this petrol station. And it was just weird how your mind plays tricks with you. So I wrote this about it, because you're just there on your own. It's the middle of the night on the A55. It's dark. You very rarely see anybody, but those that you did see, we're always there to cause trouble, so
I reckon that was an AK-47.
Yeah, it's called the night shift. You see all sorts of things when you work a night shift, when a petrol pump attendant out in the sticks. As the night draws in and the moon's at its highest, the creatures of the night descend in the quiet. Still is the night bereft of any sound as you travel the forecourt, checking the grounds. Pump readings are taken, tanks full and enabled, as you wait for the vehicles of the dead and disabled. You sit alone in the shop, check the shelves, count the stock, sit back in the chair, looking out at the lot. The sound of an engine pierces the night. The vehicle crawls up on the side to the right. Out jumps the driver and four likely lads. Dragging knuckles on the floor, they start to advance. Like Frankenstein's monster, they sway and they shout as they lurch between aisles with their chests all puffed out. A packet of skins, one of them grunts. He's as wild as a banshee and drunk as a skunk. The others advance with a menacing glare, with chocolate bars, pasties, a wheel brace, a flare. Put them on account, mate, on account we ain't paying, or we'll come round the counter and give you a good pasting. A friendly lot, these dungeons of hell, who suckled at the breast of the monsters that dwell. You reach under the counter for the pickaxe handle, bring it up quickly and swiftly, bring it down on the table. Point up to the camera, the CCTV's on. Say nicely, politely, I think your evening is done. To leave my hallowed hall with body intact, empty all your pockets and give me the cash. shocked by the rapid reverse of events. They watch the shaft of the handle circle their heads. Deep into their pockets they rummage around, find a fiver between them and put money down. You escort them from this sacred hall, walk them to their carriage as they squeal and they call, howling at the moon, profanities abound, curses, verses, unintelligible sounds. You know they will be back, so you'll leave them a gift. The shaft of the handle you bring down fast and quick. Wingmer is shattered, bonnet dented and battered. You stare into their carriage and you whisper this patter. Do not return this night. Unless, of course, you're willing to fight. Crawl back to the cesspit that you call your life. Go home in one piece to your girlfriends and wives.
Very good.
And it was like that. You'd be sat there, it'd be the middle of the night, nothing going on. All of a sudden you'd hear an engine roll up. They weren't coming for petrol. They'd pull up at the side and they were coming into the store.
Yeah.
And you knew as soon as you walked in, you thought, we're in for it now. It's going to kick off. And the guy who owned the place had this pickaxe handle underneath the counter.
Yeah.
And he was there for when trouble kicked off. And invariably, when you were there at night, you ended up, especially on a Friday or a Saturday night, you'd have to take this pickaxe handle out, and you'd have to threaten people to get them out of the shop and move them on. It was a bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
And you couldn't let them go out of the shop. You had to take them back to the car, because what they'd do is they'd find a brick or something and throw it through the window. So you had to make sure they went off.
Yeah.
The challenge was, if they came back, the mates would give you a good idea. Well, that was the Old Geezers, and just to let you know who they were, it was Colin Cameron and a guy called Steve Ball and myself, and Colin's wife Helen was there on this occasion. Now, we're going to decamp from Colin's living room in the future. We're going to meet up in
the... Is that where
it was? It was in Colin's living room.
We just sat around the living room.
We did, yeah. You know, it's a bit odd, isn't it, for a group of guys? Yeah, reading poetry. So we're going to decamp to a cafe where we usually go, and you can hear all the ambience of the cutlery being thrown around and all the rest of it. It's just great fun because everybody's looking at you as though you're going to start raving mad. You know, you sat in a cafe and you start reading poetry. That's what's going on here.
But isn't that really the sort of ethos of this show, to get people to think about, you know, poetry is something that you don't have to sit in some austere library and study.
Absolutely.
You can just do it in your own lounge.
We want to get it on the streets. We want to get it out
street
there.
Poetry, that's
street
the word.
Poetry, yeah.
Yeah,
and
like
some
it.
Of these performance poetry is brilliant. And in fact, next week, or is it the week after, we're off to Chester Poets Society. They have an open mic night.
Mm-hmm.
And you get about, well, usually they have about 10 or 15 people there. The last one we went to, they had about, 30, 40 people in the room. And everybody takes a turn reading a bit of poetry. And it's a great night. You know, you've got all ages there, from about 18 up to about 70. That's the age span on it.
Now, can you come along and spectate to something like
that?
Yeah,
of course you can. Yeah, you don't have to join in. You can come and listen. It's just a great evening of...
good gig.
...of doing something different. And then they're organising different open mic nights. We've got a couple going on in Liverpool, some on the Wirral, some down in Manchester. The guys down in Birmingham are going to play next week a piece of a guy called Joseph Burke, who did an open mic spot down in Birmingham. It's a great piece. I'll play that for you. It's very political. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But all these things are going on all the time. They're trying to bring, I guess, poetry and writing. It's an art form to the masses. And I love the way the words play, the way you play around with the words and get them to join up together. And that's the beauty of poetry. It touches somebody in some way, somehow. And that's what it's all about. It's creating some sort of feeling for people.
It's like a painting on the radio.
It is, really. And that'll be the interesting bit when we start covering art, is how do we actually describe a piece of art? You know, I've covered on the on our YouTube channel, where we've got the Arts Review channel, I've covered a couple of artists on there, and that's easy because you can show their paintings while you're describing what they do, so people get it. The challenge for us as broadcasters is going to be describing those paintings on the radio.
Okay, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, I think that might be for a later programme, Painting by Numbers.
Okay,
on that
but
side.
For those of you with any groups up and down the UK or wider afield, anywhere around the world, if you've got a group that you want to sort of make visible, get some people to come along and see it, then post it in to us on our Facebook page and we'll give you a plug, because we want to be the place where people can hear what's going on outside. So.
Absolutely. That's what this is all about. This isn't about us. This is about you. This is all about you, the listener. If you're a poet, you're a writer, even if you're a musician who's not been picked up by any of the major labels, or you're just practicing playing, or you've wrote a piece of classical music or I don't know, rap music or whatever it is, let us know. You know, post something on the Facebook page. Let's have a look at it. Let's have a listen. And we'll see if we can broadcast it on the Scribble Show, because we're just going to scribble our way around everything that we come across. So the call to action for everybody who's listening is get over to Facebook on 365 Scribble. Leave us a posting on there. We don't care whether you like the page. This isn't about liking the page and making us great and all the rest of it. This is about your work. So post your work into the Scribble page. We'll pick it up. If you can read it yourself and squirrel it down as an MP3, we'll supply you with an email address to send your MP3s to, and we'll broadcast it live on the radio. And I think that's about it, really. Apart from every week is your spot.
We're going to go to the sort of basis level of poetry, which is the limerick, which is often considered to be sort of like, you know, the sort of poor relative to the poetry. But for me, it always makes me smile. Thought we'd end the show each week with a limerick.
Yeah.
Going to pick out the first one, which is written by an anonymous person. I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of people written by anonymous.
There's a lot, yeah. There must be a Mr. Anonymous kicking around every He does. He's quite prolific, is Mr. Anonymous.
But I think this will make you smile. And given that this week's news was all about Einstein and all the gravity waves, and it gets a bit technical,
listen to
this then, because this will bend your mind, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. There was a young lady named Bright, whose speed was much faster than light. She set out one day in a relative way and returned on the previous night.
How good's that?
Ba-bum.
Ba-bum. So right. If we've got any limerick writers,
yeah,
they need to post on 365 Scribble.
Do they
need
to be clean?
Yeah, preferably. Yeah, we'd like everything to be as clean as possible.
Because the ones mostly that sort of I come across, you'll have to sort of think
Yeah,
about
you
it.
Need to stop frequenting those areas.
I know, okay. All right then.
Okay, so that's it for this week.
Yep.
Thanks to everybody for listening to the programme. As I said, please get involved. Please post us your poetry, send us your MP3s, your stories, your novels. Give us a snippet. Let us broadcast it out to the masses. Let's get to as many people as we can. And thanks very much to Jeff, my co-presenter today. And we'll play you out with our outro. I think they call it an outro in the game.
All right.
Thanks very much and goodbye.